Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Wednesday, December the 10th, 2025, 12:10:25, 14 minutes past the hour, and around these parts, we call this Fruitcake Toss Eve. Of course, the big Fruitcake Toss takes place tomorrow night, December the 11th, 7 p.m. right here at WGH Talk Radio. It is the event of the holiday season. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night, during the Fruitcake Toss, which will be broadcast live on the station, by the way, starting at 7:15 p.m., we will have Buckeye Donuts from the famous Buckeye Donut Shop in Columbus, Ohio, on campus, brought to you by the Industrial Channel here in Marion. So we thank them for that. But the Fruitcake Toss is all the talk. It is Fruitcake Toss Eve here today. So we had to get somebody on the line because, as many of you know, the article that ran in the paper yesterday mentioned that we will be honoring former Major League Baseball umpire Larry Barnett at tomorrow night's event. And I believe Larry Barnett will be throwing out the traditional ceremonial first fruitcake toss to get the event kicked off. So today, and also because it's the holidays, we have to bring in somebody. You know, really, there's nobody on planet Earth any longer who could really sum up what's going to go on with tomorrow night's fruitcake toss. So we have to turn to somebody who's been on this program. Now he passed away in 1998, so he has been gone for almost 30 years now. But this man knows how to have a good time. This man would appreciate a good fruitcake toss. This man knows baseball. Of course, I speak of legendary Chicago Cubs broadcaster extraordinaire, the legendary man himself, Harry Carey. Harry, how are you?
Hello again, everybody. Good morning, Scott, and Merry Christmas to all the wonderful people in your audience.
Merry Christmas to you, Harry. How are things? Wherever you are you in heaven, or are you maybe in another time zone?
No, I'm in heaven. The beer's cold up here.
Oh, very nice, Harry. Yeah, very nice.
You wouldn't want to be in the other place.
No. Warm beer is not good.
It's really not good.
Harry, what are your favorite parts of the holiday season?
Well, you know, drinking. I love to go to bars and meet with my friends, and then I make a special appearance at my restaurant in Chicago to go and sit spiritually with people that come in and were former friends of mine. I like to quietly sit at their table and reminisce.
That's very nice. Reminisce of things that have happened in the past. Now, of course, baseball is not going on over the Christmas holiday. What did you normally do for the holidays?
Well, you know, my wife, Dutchie, and I would go to different places, and we would go shopping. She was a good shopper. Let me tell you, I held my breath every time she went to Michigan Avenue.
Watch your wallet.
Yeah, that's right.
Did she like to buy Christmas gifts for the grandkids and the kids and so on and so forth?
Oh, yeah. You know, it was a wonderful time of year. And then we would watch Christmas movies and, you know, just have a grand old time.
I bet so. Now, did you have a favorite Christmas holiday movie, Harry?
Well, you know, I really didn't. I like so many of them. I like the, what was the one with Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. I like that movie.
You know, I like It's a Wonderful Life. It gets a lot of play every year. But I always think that Miracle on 34th Street does not get enough play.
And yeah, that was a great one.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, Santa Claus on trial. Santa Claus in litigation.
Yeah. That would have been, yeah, they're letting a lot of guys out of prison who shouldn't, and then they're going to indict Santa Claus.
That's right. I mean, it's and the end of that movie, for people who haven't seen it, it's such a great ending. It's the perfect ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Harry, now you face some litigation in your life from time to time, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's never fun.
No, it's never fun. I had to get out of St. Louis.
Well, you know, and the rumor was that you had a little, what should we say, rendezvous with an executive's wife, was that?
Yes, I didn't. But that's what they said I did. And they accused me of something I didn't do. But I still had to get out of town, and I went from St. Louis to Oakland. A lot of people do not know that I broadcast for the Oakland A's for 1 year.
Now, you know what? I do remember that, but it seemed like you were not at home there.
No, you know, I had to go to Chicago, where the beer was ice cold and so was the weather. It didn't warm up until June.
You know, there was something about Harry Carey and the Midwest, I think.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Midwestern guy, I felt more at home with the people there. And that's why I opened a restaurant there. I felt it would be a good place to hang out with Midwestern people and get to know them a little better, because I couldn't do that during the games a lot of times.
You know, and there's something about the Midwest. I think maybe it is the seasons and the changing weather and just the attitudes of people seem to be a little different than anywhere else.
Well, that's right. They're friendlier. You know, it's nicer. There's less tension.
There is less tension, unless there's a game going on, and then there's a lot of tension.
Well, that's right, and you know, it's like the wonderful people of Ohio. I mean, they're just good people. They're good, hard-working, blue-collar and white-collar people, and they're just friendlier than the other people.
You know, Harry, I have not had a chance to speak with you since the World Series. How about those Dodgers?
You know, they're just unbelievable. This Ohtani guy, holy cow, what a player. I mean, there's no limit to this guy. Not only is he a great hitter, he's a great pitcher. That hasn't happened since Babe Ruth.
That's exactly right. And the Dodgers, to take that to seven games, it was just extraordinary.
Oh, just amazing, exciting. I mean, Toronto played a good series, but I think everybody thought that, you know, the Dodgers would win it.
You know, I have nothing against Toronto, but I just think that a Canadian team should not win the World Series. This is apple pie, the great American game.
That's right. I couldn't be more with you, Scott. That's exactly well put.
Yeah.
And, you know, they... Of course, we beat them all the time in hockey. They can't seem to win a Stanley Cup.
I know, they don't do very well, and it's in their blood. You would think it's in their blood.
That's right. I don't get it.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't.
No. Now, Harry, I don't know if you've heard up there in heaven, but we have an event coming up here tomorrow night.
Yeah.
This is big, big stuff. This is like the World Series of the holiday season.
Uh-huh.
It is the fruitcake toss.
The fruitcake toss?
Oh, the fruitcake toss.
Wait a minute. When did that start?
Oh, this started here 6 years. This is our sixth annual fruitcake toss.
You know, I've been doing your show for a long time, and I've never heard of this.
Oh, this is big, Harry. This is big. It was in the newspaper yesterday. It's being covered by the periodicals.
So what do you do?
Well, here's what happens. You get nominated to be in the fruitcake toss by somebody else. Then, tomorrow night, a cold night here in the Midwest in December, at 7 p.m., we all gather in the parking lot here at the station, and we get an actual Claxton fruitcake. Do you like the Claxton fruitcake?
Oh, I love fruitcake, no doubt about it. Oh, I've never had a Claxton one, but that sounds absolutely delicious.
Well,
how does it go with Budweiser?
You know, I'm not sure because I've never actually eaten a Claxton fruitcake because I am not a fruitcake fan.
Yeah, a lot of people, you either like it or you don't.
Yeah, there's no middle ground on fruitcake.
No, it's like asparagus.
But I'm sure it would go okay with Budweiser because the more inebriated you get, the better the fruitcake has to be.
That could be right.
I'm going to go with that. So we get this Claxton fruitcake, which will not break. And we get these people, community leaders. We have city councilmen. We have county commissioners. The sheriff participates.
Wow.
Former treasurers of the United States, former mayors. I mean, it's super. Last year, our champion was the superintendent of the city schools. It's a who's who, really.
Wow.
Of people. So we get out there. Now, here are the rules. They're very simple. You go up to a line. We have a line. You cannot run up to it. You have to go up to the line.
Yeah.
Flat-footed on the line. You get that fruitcake in your hand. One underhanded toss. And whoever throws the fruitcake the farthest wins the event.
Wow, and you have to do that underhand like softball.
Yes, it's like softball because we don't want any ringers. And we also feel we have men and women and children in this event, so it's an event for all sexes and all ages.
Hey, you know who I'd like to see in it?
Who's that?
Nolan Ryan.
Oh, Nolan Ryan would be great. Nolan Ryan would be great.
And he wouldn't do underhand. He'd have to do an overhand throw.
He would have to do an overhand throw. You're right. Yeah, that's how Nolan would do it. But here's the thing, Harry, about this. Is the furthest toss, I think the record-breaking toss. Now think, a toss underhand, 72 feet.
Wow, that's excellent.
That's unbelievable to me.
If there were a major league for fruitcake tossing, that guy would be. Was it a guy or a girl?
It was a guy. It was a guy.
All right, so what was his name?
I believe that was our sheriff, Matt Bales.
Wow!
Yes.
That guy's got an arm.
He's got an arm on him, and he's back tomorrow night, maybe to reclaim his championship.
Oh, I'm going to put my money on that guy.
Oh, the sheriff is. But then you've got last year's winner, Superintendent Brian Murphy.
Uh-huh.
Now, he could also repeat.
Well, you never know. I mean, this sounds like it's going to be a good race to the top.
Oh, now, Harry, we have added some things this year that I think will make this a far better event.
All right.
Now, on the 70th, foot mark.
Right.
Okay. This year, we have received a live Christmas tree from the Y-Men here in town. So, on the 70th foot mark, our 70th foot marker will be a live Christmas tree.
Wow!
Yes. Now, if you hit the Christmas tree,
yeah,
you will get a special prize.
Oh, that's awesome. What do you got?
Well, we have not revealed that yet, but we might reveal it before this hour's up.
All right.
Yeah, but can you imagine a fruitcake hitting a live Christmas tree on a cold Midwest December night?
You know, you could knock the whole thing over.
You could not. Well, the whole tree could go down. It really could.
The whole thing could come crashing down, and don't park any cars by it.
No, don't get the cars anywhere near that. Car alarms would be going off all over the place.
Oh, they'd be going off. It'd be ridiculous.
And I'll tell you, Harry, we are not a cheap event because the Industrial Channel will be providing free Buckeye donuts for everybody in attendance tomorrow.
Oh, now this is turning out to be a better and better event. Do you have to wear formal wear? Do you have to wear like a tuxedo to attend it?
Well, I prefer if people wear formal wear. They don't, but I prefer it.
Wow, I wish, you know, I might come down for that.
I hope you'll be with us, Harry. I really do.
At least I'll be with you, Spirit.
You'll be with, and that's what we need this time. You'll be the spirit of Christmas past.
That's right, and I'll maybe dress in a Santa Claus suit or something.
Hey, there you go.
Or I'll dress as a large fruitcake.
Oh, a large, Harry Carey dressed, and you would do it too, wouldn't you, Harry?
I would do it.
You love stuff like that.
I'll throw out the first fruitcake. cake. Yeah. Almost said cheesecake. But I'll throw out the first piece of fruitcake.
Now, Harry, another part of this big event, we will have, because you know it'll be a little chilly out there.
Oh, yeah.
We will have free hot chocolate, coffee, and water, courtesy of the Salvation Army canteen truck.
Well, you know, you guys have thought of everything.
Oh, I mean, it's really high-end, isn't it, Harry?
Wow, I mean, that's sensational.
And if you want to make a donation to the Salvation Army for the holiday season, there will be a Salvation Army bell ringer there with a Salvation Army kettle.
Well, you know, they're always such a great organization, and they raise a lot of money for people during the holidays, so that's wonderful.
And here's something else we've stumbled upon this year, is the live Christmas tree that we're throwing fruitcakes at. One of the participants who's been nominated for this event is the director of our local homeless shelter.
So it all kind of blends in.
It blends in, so when the event is over, we are going to donate that live Christmas tree to the homeless shelter.
Oh, now there you go. See, you guys have just thought of everything. It's like, wow, that's great. I'm going to have to come down.
Oh, and Harry, you get a plaque if you win this event, and it is actually covered by the newspaper, the stats, you know, who was first place, who was second place, who was third place, how far did they throw. I mean, it's the World Series of the holiday season.
Well, that's the yarn. Then you hit a tree and you knock that over with a piece of fruitcake, and just hope nobody gets sued.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know if any lawyers are in the event. Maybe somebody should nominate a lawyer to be in this event tomorrow night.
That would be really good.
Yeah, there might be some litigation.
Yeah, there might be some booze, like, you know, the many umpires we knew in our life.
Oh, you know what? Now, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because tomorrow night we will be honoring, and he will be at the event, legendary Major League umpire Larry Barnett will be on.
Wow, Larry was phenomenal. This guy is one of the greatest umpires in history.
And just to show you how things work out, Harry, this is the 50th anniversary, 1975, that Larry made the controversial call in the 1975 World Series against Boston that got him death threats, his family death threats, for the call that he made 50 years ago this year.
Oh, you never want to have death threats. I mean, what the heck is wrong with people? You know, why would you do that? It's a game, for crying out loud. Why are you threatening a guy's life?
You know, I don't know. It got out of hand. I mean, that was covered by the New York Times back then, and the, you know, he had to have, I believe, a very high-end security. It was a mess.
Oh, well, that's a mess. You don't want violence during the especially during the holidays. So I hope Larry and all of you guys have a wonderful holiday at the fruitcake toss. That's awesome.
Well, and we'll be honoring Larry tomorrow night for this 50th year commemoration. He'll get a plaque as well tomorrow night.
Is he from around your area?
He is. He's from Prospect, Ohio, which is just
about, awesome.
Yeah, 20 minutes up, and he still lives there.
Well, you know, that's great, because you remember where you came from.
And we save on plane tickets.
Yes, there you go.
That's right. So this event has all the feel of a spectacular holiday event.
Well, let me ask you something. Maybe this would be a good idea to start the major league season. Instead of throwing out the first pitch, you throw out the first fruitcake.
I think that would jazz things up.
I do too. It's innovative.
It's very innovative. And I may be wrong about this, Harry, and I don't know, this goes way back even before you, but I do believe the first president to throw out the first pitch at a major league ball game was Warren Harding.
Yeah, that's right. It was Warren Harding.
And we live in the town that he was born in.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, we do.
Well, you know, it's a good thing Gerald Ford didn't throw out the first pitch. He would have beaten somebody.
That's true, and we would have had to have moved this event to Detroit.
That's exactly right. That guy wasn't good with a golf club.
And, you know, Warren Harding, again, maybe he'll be here with us in spirit tomorrow night. His memorial is less than, I'll say, 100 feet from where the studio is.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go up to heaven, and I'll talk to him, and maybe he and I'll come down tomorrow night.
Now, you'll have to, he had an eye for the ladies. This has been
well
documented.
So did I.
You had an eye for the ladies, too. So
yeah.
you'll know where to find him.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So you both can come down and give that spiritual flavor for this event.
Well, that would, listen, you know, I didn't know that Warren was a part of your town, so I'll talk to him and we'll come down.
That sounds wonderful. Now this is something we've added today. Now this is something you would have loved, Terry. The top six throwers will get a maple bacon donut from Buckeye Donuts.
A maple bacon donut. That sounds phenomenal.
That's how you end up in heaven.
Now, how does that go with Budweiser?
Oh, I bet that's delicious.
I bet it is.
I bet that's that is, I think, one of their most popular donuts, the maple bacon donut.
And who's donating those?
Those come from the Industrial Channel.
Oh, now what's the Industrial Channel?
They're a group that tries to focus on the industrial growth here in Marion, Ohio.
Well, that is an absolutely phenomenal idea.
It's wonderful, because we had some, with everything, there's always some complaint. We had some complaints yesterday about what the special prize was going to be if you were to hit the Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
So I think, I can't confirm exactly, but I think they might be getting a maple bacon donut.
Well, you know, I need you to send me a couple of those because I'll bring them up to heaven and let the boys try them.
Oh, you'll give one to Warren G. and all the others.
I'll give one to Warren and Shoeless Joe Jackson's up there, Pete Rose, whole bunch of great guys.
It's a wonderful thing, and I should also mention that this event will be broadcast live here on WGH Talk starting at 7:15 tomorrow, December the 11th.
Can you get the signal in heaven?
Oh, you can, because it's all in. You have the internet up there, don't you?
Yeah, we got the internet.
Oh, yeah, WWGH1071.com.
Oh, all right. That sounds like I'll tell everybody about it.
Oh, you'll all be gathered around the listening device up there in heaven.
Now, what time is it?
7:15 Eastern Time.
Okay, so there's a big time difference between heaven and Marion, Ohio.
That's true. Well, what is the current time in heaven?
Oh, let me think. I think it's a 10-hour difference.
10-hour difference. Yes. Yeah, so,
I think so.
So you'll want to get that. What would that be? That would be about 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Because we go 7:15 p.m.
Yeah. This is getting complex.
Oh well, some things do, Harry.
I don't do math really well.
Well, just start listening at 9 a.m. and if we're not on, eventually we'll be on.
All right. So we'll be up early. And then I'll tell everybody to get on the internet.
Now, Harry, tell me, so your pick, we want to write this down, is the Sheriff of Marion, Matt
Bales. Yes, I'm going to go with the Sheriff.
Now, you ran into a lot of sheriffs in your years.
Yeah, I did.
But you were friendly with law enforcement.
Oh, I loved them. You know, they protect you. I don't understand this idea of people hating the police. They protect you, for God's sake. What's the issue?
Oh, you used to drive on the sidewalk sometimes when you couldn't get to the game on time. Isn't that right?
Well, I drove on the sidewalks a lot after midnight, too. I didn't know about the roads. I knew more about the sidewalk.
So you had to be friendly with the police officers.
Oh, you got to be friends with those guys.
Oh, absolutely.
They protect you, and they protected me.
And Harry, I have so many things going on with this fruitcake toss. There's one more thing I wanted to mention, because this will probably be the most the part of it that you will most appreciate. The crowd that will be there when we present Major League umpire, former Major League umpire Larry Barnett, with his plaque commemorating 50 years since this big World Series call in 1975. I'm hoping, I've mentioned this, that the crowd in attendance burst in to take me out to the ballgame.
Oh, that's, you know, I wish I could be there physically, because I'd like to see Larry again, and that would be just a dream come true.
Don't you think the crowd should, I mean, that's not a hard song to know.
No.
That when I say, and now commemorating the 50-year anniversary of Larry's historic call in the 1975 World Series, here he is, legendary Major League umpire, Larry Barnett. I hand him the plaque, and after people applaud, they sing Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
Yeah, that would be the way to do it.
That would be a moment that would live on in holiday lore forever.
And then I think Larry should be allowed to make a fruitcake toss.
Well, I think, because we do have, I mean, this has become big, we do generally have a traditional first toss, like at a baseball game.
Right.
Now, last year, former mayor Jack Kellogg did the ceremonial toss, and I'm going to see if Larry will do it tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be a great idea, and then maybe you could put a cup of coffee by the tree, and then Larry tries to throw it into the cup of coffee.
Well, and I'll tell you, Larry is a big guy. He might be able to get it down there.
Well, let's see. I bet he could. What if Larry won the entire thing last night? Or tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night? Well,
I don't even know what day I'm in.
No. This is how you used to call ball games, Harry.
Yeah.
Last night, tomorrow night, who
cares?
Yeah,
I don't even know. My time elements are screwed up.
A little bit. Well, if Larry wins, then he gets the plaque, and he gets all the prestige that goes with it.
Yeah, that's right. Let him toss one.
Well, I think we'll count his. No matter how far he tosses it, I think we will count it.
I think you should.
Even though it's a ceremonial first toss, I think that's what we should do.
And because Larry's a big guy, he might outthrow the sheriff.
That's right. He might outthrow the sheriff. You
but
never know.
I wouldn't do that because, you know, you got your problem.
Hey, you know. Larry, Harry, see, it rhymes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of going in and out there, but let's hope you stay with us here this morning.
Oh, listen, I'll back up here.
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
Now we're a little better. Now we're
all
a little
right.
Better. Now, Harry, now, one thing I have to ask you about, a sad note here at the holidays, but he's up there with you now. This year we lost legendary Cub Ryne Sandberg.
Yeah, that Rhino died way too young.
Way too young. But boy, was there any better Cub than Ryne Sandberg.
He was the most handsome devil I've ever seen on a ball field, and just a wonderful guy, and, you know, had a phenomenal Hall of Fame career.
And when you were there, he was probably the most exciting player in the 80s and 90s.
Well, he really was, and then if you consider Mark Grace also, I mean, that was a hell of a team with him and Gracie, and, you know, Grace was no slouch himself, had the most hits, I think, in the 90s.
I think that's right, and then there's that historic game, Ryne Sandberg. Do you remember the historic game?
Which one? There are a lot of them.
Well, the game, I believe, I'm trying to remember. It was from the early 80s. It was that was seen nationally, in which Ryne Sandberg played phenomenally.
Well, that guy, you know, from the day he came up, I said to everybody in Chicago, this kid's going to be a phenom.
And he was.
And do you have a lot of Cub fans in Marion?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I believe the game, it's called the Sandberg Game, June 23rd, 1984. Ryne Sandberg hit two game-tying home runs against the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Cubs won the game 12-11 in 11 innings. It launched Sandberg's career.
Wow. Hey, do you remember the 23-inning game against the Phillies?
Oh, that went forever.
Oh, and Ozzie Virgil, I talked to Ozzie Virgil that night.
Did you?
He was tired.
I bet he was exhausted.
Oh, he was exhausted. 23 innings.
Well, I bet you were exhausted that night.
I couldn't even talk. I had to give it over to Stoney.
You could, because how many innings do you think you could go with all that vim and vigor you had, Harry?
You know, I'm good for about 17 innings, and then I need to go to bed.
Then you need to go to bed. Take a nap.
You know.
Take a nap.
Yeah. Have a drink and go nappy time.
Now, Harry, now you were not a professionally trained singer.
No.
But you became very well known for your singing.
Well, you know who made me sing?
I think it was Bill Veeck.
That's right. I was just singing along with the crowd, and then he stuck a mic in my face. And then the fans went ballistic. And then I had to start, keep doing it.
Yeah, and people went crazy, like a Springsteen concert, every time you sung Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch.
That's right, and you know, speaking of going crazy, Jimmy Pearsall was my broadcast partner.
Oh, that's right, and he was, I thought maybe he had some psychological issues.
Well, you know, a few.
A few, but he was entertaining.
Pearsall was in the outfield one time, and he didn't realize that the White Sox had installed an exploding scoreboard.
Wow.
And then one of the White Sox hit a home run, the scoreboard blew up, and Pearsall picked a rock off the warning track, threw it at the scoreboard, it went through the scoreboard, hit some electrical stuff, and shorted it out.
My goodness.
Yeah, and the next day, Bill Veeck called him into the office. This is a true story. Bill Veeck called him into the office and said, "Hey, leave my scoreboard alone."
So Bill said, calm down.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jimmy was a little bit excitable. One time Jimmy said to me, "Harry, you're crazy." And I said, "Jimmy, I'm crazy. You're the crazy one, and you have the papers to prove it." That guy was Looney Tunes.
He really was. He was a different kind of a guy. You know, I was just thinking, because Bill Veeck was an innovator, a baseball team owner. He really knew how to innovate. I mean, he helped you create the seventh inning stretch.
Oh, yeah, and remember when he sent Eddie Goodell up to the plate?
I do.
The guy sends a midget up to the plate, and I think his number on the back of his uniform was 1/2.
You couldn't do that today, Harry.
No.
No.
No, you couldn't do anything today. You go to jail.
No, they take you right out of there. But I was thinking maybe for this fruitcake toss tomorrow, we should have something blow up like a tree.
Well, you know, that it'd be like disco demolition night.
Yeah. You just, anybody, one thing about Americans that I have learned, maybe it's our 4th of July heritage.
Yeah.
But we like things blowing up.
Yeah, we like to blow stuff up.
We certainly do.
Iran.
Yeah, well, that happens too. You're exactly right.
That was good. That was better than disco demolition night.
Sort of like disco demolition night.
Well, yeah, you know, you'd say we do like, I agree with you, we do like to see things go up in smoke.
We certainly do. Harry, I've got to ask you, because you do sing, what is your favorite holiday tune?
My favorite holiday tune?
Yes, your favorite holiday song.
Let's see. I always like Bing Crosby's White Christmas.
White Christmas, that's a very good one.
That's a nice one.
You know, of course, we in Ohio here are partial to Silver Bells. Bob
I'll
Hope.
I like that one.
Yeah, Bob Hope sang that.
That's a great one.
For the first. Well, Harry, do you want to sing a little tune for us here, Christmas?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Hi, Chicago.
You know, that was just like an old Bob Hope special, Harry.
Yeah.
Very, very, very similar.
Yeah, I want the June Taylor dancers here.
Oh, it was just great. And being in the city, now I know a lot of people prefer the country Christmas, but being in the city, there's something about that during holiday time.
Yeah, the people doing the drive-bys are nicer.
Yeah, I always appreciate that, you know, and once again, the police have to get involved.
That's right.
But they wear Santa hats.
Well, you know, it's so endearing.
There's nothing like a good siren during the holiday time.
That's exactly right, and you think it's Santa, but no, it isn't. It's the police.
It's the police coming to investigate a high-profile crime.
Yeah, that's right, and we have a lot of that in Chicago.
Well, you used to have that Mayor Richard Daley there.
Oh, you know, that guy knew how to run a city.
He certainly had his hand, his finger on the pulse of the city.
And he didn't take any malarkey. I'll tell you right now, if you got out of line, he got you back in real quick.
He could have you in federal court. This mayor, he had connections.
You know, he and I used to drink together, and he was a good guy.
Very, very kind man. Unless
he was a Southsider. When I was with the White Sox, we used to hang out together.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Yeah, that is.
He seemed like a Christmas type of guy.
Well, until you ticked him off.
Yeah, he could have a little bit of a temper as well. He could have a little bit of a temper.
Oh, definitely.
How do you feel about Santa Claus? Were you on the nice list or the naughty list?
Well, I was on both.
But depending on the year.
Depending on the year, and sometimes in the same year, I was on both sides.
You got on both, but Santa always left you something.
Pardon me?
I think Santa always left you something.
Oh, yeah. Listen, when you had a cold six-pack under the tree.
That's all you needed.
Oh, so that's Christmas.
That's Christmas. Now, Harry, how do you feel about the Grinch? Because he is all the talk this year.
Well, I actually wanted him to throw out the first pitch one season, but he was busy.
Really?
I like the guy, but he, you know, again, not always a pleasant guy to hang out with.
Well, and I should also mention that Santa Claus, I've heard this on good authority, Santa Claus and the Grinch will both be at the fruitcake toss.
Yeah, and, you know, if you got the, you know who the Grinch is friends with?
Who's that?
Ty Cobb.
Really?
Doesn't that make sense?
They had similar attitudes.
They do. You know, the Ty was a nice guy some days and really brutal other days. That guy, you know, he still thinks it's funny to slide into people's spikes up in heaven.
Well, you know, they said the same thing about Ted Williams, that he could be a little surly.
That's right, and weren't they trying to, like, freeze his head or something?
You know, I think they did freeze his head, but somehow it got dented.
It got dented?
I believe it got dented, yes.
Did Nolan throw at it?
You know, I'm not sure, but I don't believe it's... I don't know.
His kid froze his head.
Yeah, and there was a big problem with that, because the daughter did not want it frozen. I think the son did. The whole thing.
Yeah, and then what if you didn't freeze the body? You just got a head.
What do you do with a frozen head?
What would you do?
I don't know.
So you wake them up like 200 years later, and there's just a head in a box.
And I never understood how that worked. Were they going to put the head on a... Who's donating their body?
See, that whole thing threw me. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know. Well, here's my body. Chop my head off. Put Ted Williams' head on it.
And then does the body go to I don't even know. I'm confused. I don't understand how that works, and it's too early to figure it out.
Oh, maybe they just wanted to preserve Ted Williams' brain.
Well, yeah, but then I don't know how you do that.
Well, there was some talk about preserving your brain at one point.
Well,
wasn't
they
there?
Wouldn't want to do that.
No, they wouldn't.
Put that thing in formaldehyde, it'll dissolve the formaldehyde. Wilson, that's not what you want to do with my brain.
Do you love a good Christmas joke?
I do. Do you have one?
I heard this the other day.
All right.
And I think this is a... Now, I don't want to mistell it, but let's hope I can get it right here.
All right.
Okay. How much does Santa's sleigh cost?
I don't know.
Nothing. It's on the house.
That's a good one.
Yeah, a nice quick punchline.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it's clean. We can say it on the air.
Well, that's right. Listen, and speaking of sleighs, you know, I used to drink with Rudolph.
Did you?
Well, you know, you see his big red nose?
I do.
What do you think that came from?
Is that right?
Oh, he liked his vodka.
He was just like all the other reindeer till Harry Carey got a hold of him.
Well, yeah, and then, no, a lot of people don't know that he had a history.
He did? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Liked his vodka, huh?
Oh, he liked vodka. And, yeah, he used to get bombed at my restaurant. I kept telling him, listen, pal, you got a lot of work this Christmas. You can't afford to be messing up like this.
Well, yeah, Rudolph had to lead the sleigh.
He had to lead the sleigh, and the guy's drinking like a fish.
Oh, my goodness.
I told him, I said, you can't. Listen, I can do this because I can go right on back to my apartment at the Ambassador East, but you got to fly.
Yeah, you can't be getting hammered on vodka.
You can't.
No.
And that's where the big red nose came from, and they think it was just to guide the sleigh. The guy was guiding himself to the next bar.
You know, I don't know if this is true or not, Harry, but you would know, since Rudolph used to come into the bar there, to the restaurant. Did Santa have a few cocktails before Christmas Eve?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
I saw him. It wasn't milk and cookies.
Really, a few cocktails.
I don't want to start a rumor, but, you know, he had a little problem, too.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much.
What would he have to drink?
Well, he liked creme de menthe.
Oh, well, that fits.
Yeah.
Would he put a candy cane in it?
Well, he would.
Yeah, well, that's holiday.
Yeah, and then he liked, you know, he liked a couple things. He liked his Jack Daniels, too.
Really?
It was Santa and Jack on Christmas Eve.
Depends on how rough the holiday season had been.
Well, yeah, and then you get in a sleigh with Rudolph, and, you know, he's flying all over like a UFO.
What a night it is, you know. It's a big night, Christmas night, Christmas Eve, but, you know, it's nice to know that Santa, you know, loosens up a little bit.
Yeah, well, he loosened up a little too much sometimes, you know.
Well, but, you know, he spends all year at the North Pole with Mrs. Claus. What can you expect?
Well, yeah, and, you know, he used to fly into my restaurant. I'd tell him, listen, you got to get going. I mean, you can't be staying here all night.
Did he have a burger, or did he have some Italian dish?
He liked pasta.
Pasta?
Yeah, but I kept telling him, you can't have all that pasta and bread. You're going to have a carbohydrate collapse.
And he's a big gentleman to begin with.
He's a big guy, and you have to deliver all these presents on Christmas Eve, and you're eating a huge plate of pasta with bread. I mean, you're going to fall asleep and hit the Sears Tower. Or the Willis Tower, or whatever the heck they're calling it these days.
Whatever they... You know, Harry, this is a wonderful holiday conversation, and in honor of the fruitcake toss and happening tomorrow night, 7 p.m., and all the holiday season, would you give us take me out to the ball game?
Oh,
to get,
I would
here
love
we go.
To.
Go ahead.
All right, everybody. During the Christmas season, a 1, a 2, a 3. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back for World Route. Root, root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out of the old ball game. All right, let's get some presents.
Oh, wonderful. Do you have a Christmas message for us, Harry, before we part ways?
Yes. We need to be together as one family during the holidays. You know, no discussing politics. None of that garbage. Just be with your friends and family and have a wonderful time and remember what the spirit of Christmas is. It's to love one another and to have a wonderful time. And if we do that, it's going to be a great holiday.
Wonderful, wonderful. Harry, it's always good to talk with you, especially here on Fruitcake Toss Eve and during the holiday season. Sign off this segment, Harry.
Well, this is Harry Carey saying to the wonderful people of Marion, Ohio, and the great Scott Spears, so long, everybody!
And, of course, we should mention Harry Carey, the legendary Chicago Cubs broadcaster, passed away in 1998 and supplying the voice brilliantly, as he always does and always has, Ken Savera. Ken, how you doing?
Buddy, it is so great to be with you during the holiday season, and I thank you for... you and I have been friends for years, and I don't know how many years I've been doing your show, but you always have me on. And Scott, I really appreciate it. And to all the people of Marion and beyond, hope you guys all have a fantastic holiday season and stay safe. That's the main thing. And as Harry would say, don't drink too much.
Absolutely. The best Harry Carey impersonation in the business. Ken Savera, Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and your family, and I'm sure we'll talk soon after the first of the year.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas. All right, now that was fun, and we're coming back with more fun right after this.
For a long winter's nap, when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed